The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Fatherhood and family building. There are so many factors. Parenting, encouragement, managing a career, and home life. Welcome to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. Today's father is all about more than bringing home the bacon. It's all about managing relationships. Now, here's your host, Freddie Scott. And it's all right by me.
Live from Nashville, Tennessee, it's the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thank you once again for joining us. You can keep the conversation going on Twitter by following at Freddie Scott, that's at F-R-E-D-D-I-E, Scott, or go online to freddiescott.org. The call is free, 888-346-9144, that's 888-346-9144. We have a great show, as always, lined up for you today. We'll be talking about how to start over in marriage with a great friend and guest, Lyndon Allen. He'll be here later on in the show to talk about some specific things that we can do to make sure we're winning in marriage. We're also going to share some interesting things that New Orleans Saints starting quarterback Drew Brees shared with me about what he thinks about this whole scandal involving the Saints and the bounding program that's been going on there. For the past couple weeks, I've been away, and of course, we're glad to be back and better than ever now, but we had a couple weeks ago, we're actually at a resort with the NFL Players Association, and it was a great opportunity just to connect with retired players, active players, as we had our convention there going over a lot of the things going on with our new collective bargaining agreement and some new things that are going on. But of course, while you're there, there's a lot of buzz and a lot of things that we were able to talk about, connect with, and sort of hear from guys' hearts. But I was actually able to go there to be able to speak to guys specifically about marriage and being a great father, which is a huge opportunity and a huge door opportunity for us to be able to engage every NFL player to help them be better husbands, to be better fathers. And so I've been away, so I missed you, but so glad to be back finally. But while I was there, Drew was there with his wife and two kids, one still in the oven getting ready to come. And he's got two boys, and they're expecting, I believe, the third one will also be a boy. And so we were just joking around because I have four boys and a baby girl, and was asking him if he was going to try to catch up with me, and he thinks he's going to be done. But again, we've got some great, great things lined up. We're going to, of course, be talking about a lot of the current events and news in sports and just around the country. And so, again, thank you again if you have any questions or comments, feedback. Do the hashtag Freddie Scott, and I'll make sure that I'll read your tweet and answer any questions you have there. Also, the most inspiring message that you might share, I will definitely share that on the show as well. The call, again, 888-346-9144, 888-346-9144. Well, obviously, the big news across the country today is, of course, the huge tornado outbreak that took place, and our thoughts and prayers go out to anyone that may be impacted by that or may have family in that region of the country. And this, according to ABC News, they were concerned that Midwesterners might be complacent after repeated tornado warnings came to nothing. Forecasters issued a sternly worded alert well in advance that weekend storms could prove fatal. a National Weather Service official said that a month's worth of tornadoes were spotted Sunday in Kansas, and about 100 homes were damaged in Wichita Mobile Home Park, but no serious injuries or fatalities were reported there. And the commissioner, Tom Norton, said that he knew well ahead of time that this was going to be ugly, and thankfully people listened. One northwest Oklahoma town was not so fortunate. A monster twister bore down, cloaked in darkness in Sunday's early hours. Woodward's 20 outdoor tornado sirens did not sound. They had been knocked out when lightning struck a tower used to activate the system, and Frank Hobby and his daughters, aged 5 to 7, died when the tornado hit the mobile home park where they lived, as did Darren Jewell and a 10-year-old girl at a home a few miles away. And, of course, this according to the Oklahoma governor, Mary Fallon. Our thoughts and our prayers just go out to the families who have lost their loved ones, especially children. It's always devastating to hear about the loss of life of children. It was not clear if the sirens could have prevented the deaths had they sounded. And of course, I know this is a sports channel. We talk a lot about sports. But, of course, my show specifically, we talk about not just sports but also family. And so if you are a family member, a man, a mom, a parent, it is vitally important that you create an emergency plan with your kids. Obviously, being alert and aware of what dynamics of severe weather may be coming across town, and knowing if tornadoes or hurricanes or things of that nature are in place, but making sure you have a plan in place of where your children know where to go in your home, you know where you need to go in your home. Obviously, the likelihood of something impacting you specifically, hopefully, is slim and far between, but at the end of the day, as leaders in our home, we need to make sure that we create emergency plans for our family so that hopefully something like this won't plague your home. On another note, obviously we had a crazy weekend in sports with baseball season starting yesterday. Was Jackie Robinson Day across all of Major League Baseball. And actually an interesting stat was mentioned earlier today that I really hadn't thought of, but of course Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier, opened up so many doors for so many people to be able to play the game, broke so many prejudice barriers, and we understand his story and so thankful for everything that he did and leading the way to open up doors of opportunity for so many other people. But this was actually said tonight during the broadcast of the Yankees game against the Angels, that not only did Jackie Robinson open up the door for African-American or black athletes, but also open up the door for every other athlete, every other quote-unquote minority from Cuban, Puerto Rican, Dominican, and in fact, opened the door so much so that currently only 8% of Major League Baseball players are actually African-American. Only 8%. And so really when you think about it, the whole scope of Major League Baseball has changed, of course, because of Jackie Robinson and number 42 and everything that he did for the game. But truly the game of baseball would never be the same as a result of opening up doors, not being biased on what we think a person can or can't do based upon the color of their skin or what nationality they have. If you have talent, if you have ability, you should have an opportunity to grow and to be successful. And so, of course, our thoughts and prayers continue to go out to Jackie Robinson's family and everything that they have done and been to the game of baseball. Of course, in sports, we had the Lakers yesterday. They won in overtime without Kobe Bryant again. Now, this may be a surprising to many of you, but when you think about it, you had Bynum came down with 23 points, 16 rebounds. Ramon Sessions had poured in another 22 points. Pau Gasol, another 20 points and 10 rebounds. They swept Dallas 4-0 this season. Of course, sweeping the regular season really doesn't mean that much, but of course they're holding on to the 3 seed. in the NBA playoffs out there in the West, and they're playing very well. They're 3-1 right now without Kobe. And so hopefully this will show Kobe that when he comes back healing up from that shin, that he's got some really good support. He's got three guys in Bynum, Gasol, and Sessions. And don't forget, Ron Artest also showed up very, very strong, hitting some big buckets down the stretch to allow them to come up with that victory. And I don't be surprised if the Lakers are ready to make a push late into the playoffs. You have the Heat also with a big win in New York against the Knicks in a close one. They won 93-85. LeBron poured in 29 points and 10 rebounds. Wade poured in another 28 points and 9 rebounds. Carmelo Anthony scored 42 points. Now, for all of you Heat fans out there, I would be very concerned if I were you. First of all, you're talking about the Miami Heat that's projected or not 5, not 6, not 7, you know, and what they thought they'd be able to do as far as winning NBA championships. And the New York Knicks, with no low post presence, with really only one scorer on the floor in Carmelo, still was able to score 42 points against them and really was in the game up until the very, very last couple minutes of the game, where LeBron hit a big three. Dwayne, of course, hit a couple big buckets down the stretch, and just to put a little margin there. But again, I don't see the Heat as being that top echelon team. When you think of Michael Jordan's Bulls back in the day, when you think of, you know, the Houston Rockets or any team that the Lakers, even back in the day during their run, there are teams that, okay, it might be a close game, but if you're a 7, 8, 9 seed team in the conference, it was a blowout. It wasn't even close. And to see that the Heat are struggling, putting teams away, I would really be concerned for anyone that is a Heat fan and thinking that they have a realistic opportunity in being able to win a championship this year. Do you have talent? Yes. Is LeBron probably one of the best athletes in the game? Of course. Is Dwayne Wade unquestionably one of the best guards in the game? No question. But at the end of the day, they're still not even the number one seed in their own conference. At the end of the day, they still couldn't beat the Chicago Bulls in Chicago without their MVP player. And so I would really, really be real leery about whether or not I put all my eggs in the basket of whether or not I think the Miami Heat can pull this off. And in fact, if you look at the current standings right now, you've got Chicago with a 3.5 game lead over Miami for the number one seed in the East. Miami, of course, is there at the number two, firmly there. That's pretty much locked. The 3 seed and the 4 seed is Indiana. The Indiana Pacers are the 3 seed. Boston Celtics, of course, are there at the 4 seed. And then you've got just a huge drop-off. You've got Atlanta, Orlando, Philadelphia, and New York. They're bringing up the rear in the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th seeds. And then, of course, you've got, in my estimation, probably the most competitive conference in the West, where you've got Oklahoma City and San Antonio vying for the 1 seed. Right now, Oklahoma City is the 1 seed. They have a 1-game lead, but they have the same record in a loss column. So if San Antonio wins out, again, that's a tie. L.A. Lakers and the Clippers are the 3 and 4 seed. Memphis, Dallas, Denver, and then Houston as the 8 seed. And it's really going to be really interesting, because there's a team called the San Antonio Spurs that is getting absolutely no love. No press. You won't even see their game on TNT or any other network. And yet and still, here they are, close to being a 1 seed in the West. But when you watch the news, when you watch ESPN or any other network, the only teams you hear about are the Lakers, the Oklahoma City Thunder. You hear about the Heat, and you hear about the Bulls, and you don't hear a word about the great job that Greg Popovich has done there in San Antonio. No, are they flashy? No. Is Tim Duncan aging? Of course. But you know what? At the end of the day, they're doing their job, and they are 42-16 and giving themselves a chance to win. When I come back after the break, I'm going to share what Drew Brees thinks about this whole NFL bounty scandal and what he thinks about what Commissioner Goodell, his sanction against the team, what he specifically told me right after the break. We'll be right back after this. Me.
internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
The job of a professional athlete is never complete. In Life After the Game, host Lamar Campbell will take an inside look at how athletes are making the transition from the professional athletics world to the professional business world. You'll understand the goals, motivations, and personalities that drive these players off the field and in their post-professional career. Tune in to Life After the Game with Lamar Campbell every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. Thank you so much again for joining us. We are back and better than ever. Don't forget to subscribe and find us on iTunes. That way, no matter where you go, with your iPad, iPhone, you name it, your smart device, you can be able to listen to the show, subscribe, and also share it with anyone else that you know will be impacted by the information that we're sharing. We are doing this for you. This is your show, America. As I talked about before the break, I had a chance a couple weeks ago to be able to spend some time with a lot of other NFL players and at our convention there in Florida, and Drew Brees was there. And it was really, really cool to be able to reconnect. Of course, Drew played at Purdue, and I'm a Penn State guy, and we were able to share some stories about how he loved playing in Happy Valley and playing in front of 100,000 people there and hearing the lion roar and hearing the "We Are Penn State." And of course, he played against LeVar Arrington during that era just after I had left. And again, just a really great guy. And he was there spending time with his family. And of course, according to ESPN, this is actually just released on ESPN today, that with one of the players facing league disciplinary action serving as a conduit, the NFL Players Association had detailed knowledge of the video and audio tapes in which former Saints defensive coordinator Greg Williams implored his team to target San Francisco 49ers players for injury before the tapes became public on April 4th, according to sources. Scott Fujita, a former Saints linebacker now with the Browns and a member of the union's executive committee, provided the NFLPA with the details of Williams' speech and a tape that independent filmmaker Sean Pamphilon had made accessible to him, according to sources. And so the plot is starting to really get deeper now with all of this. But something that's really interesting of what Drew mentioned to me, he said that he really felt like the league was making an example out of the Saints. That, to be honest with you, I can't tell you how many other NFL coaches across the board, when you're doing your pregame speech on that Saturday before the game, trying to get your guys' minds into the game, are going to talk about how violent the game is. Now, in my personal opinion, as I stated before on the show when this story first broke, when you cross the line and you start naming specific players and specific body parts and injuries. Hey, this guy just came off a concussion, and so you want to pile them up. This guy just had an ACL. This guy just had an ankle. Okay, you cross the line. Now, of course, Drew being an offensive guy, he wouldn't be in the defensive meetings to hear what Greg Williams talked about. In fact, typically in the NFL week, you know, it's almost like you have two different teams. You would have one team squad meeting where the head coach would come in and, you know, say whatever he's going to say to the entire team. But then you break up to offense and defense meetings, and then you break up even more than that, and you break up to your position meetings. So Drew is going to spend more time with his position coach, quarterback coach, with the offensive coordinator, and with the receivers than and probably spend almost no time at all with the defense. So it's very likely that he wouldn't have heard anything that Greg Williams was saying because he would not have been a part of that defensive meeting, but he still felt strongly that the commissioner is trying to make an example out of them, and some actually even feel that they're trying to just, the NFL, the league, is trying to distance themselves from possible litigation in the future by being able to come down hard on them. But what's really interesting, though, about this is at the end of the day, you're talking about guys' ability to provide for their family. You're talking about the ability for somebody to have a livelihood because they love their wife and children. In fact, that's really what that whole weekend was about there with Drew. You know, he was there. We were there on the beach with my wife and his wife and kids, and we're just there talking and just enjoying that family time. And I could see just the true joy on his face of, you know, just there talking, and my wife and his wife are talking and just talking about just kids growing up. And at the end of the day, that's really what it's all about. And so by Greg Williams crossing that line, you're crossing the opportunity for guys to be able to do that for their kids. And so with that, I want to talk about more about this whole issue in our families and help them to make sure we can have victory in our families. There's a gentleman that's on the line right now, Lyndon Allen. He was a graduate of Biola University in La Mirada, California, with a degree in organizational leadership with an emphasis in biblical studies and apologetics. He is just such a phenomenal guy and a motivational speaker and conference teacher with an internet radio podcast called TotalLifeVictory.com. He writes a weekly blog and hosts a YouTube channel also called Total Life Victory TV. And since 2003, Lyndon Allen has been a lay minister and teacher at a church here in Nashville called Bethel World Outreach, and has served on the pastoral staff as a full-time associate specializing in pastoral marriage and counseling. And without any further ado, I want to bring on Lyndon Barrington Allen to the Freddie Scott Show. Lyndon, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, yeah, Freddie, I'm here.
Thank you so much for joining us today. As we were talking about, you know, the issues with family today, obviously I know that that's something very near and dear to your heart. And for those of you, this is Lyndon's first time on the show, but we actually had a chance to be able to connect and going to be doing some really cool things together in the future. And, man, I want to be able to get into what's on your heart right now. So one of the first things we were talking about, because when you look at so many marriages today and you're looking at the divorce rates that's being plagued in our homes, and you're looking at how difficult some people find marriage to be, you know, what should marriage look like? You know, does our relationship with God have anything to do with marriage and the success of our marriage?
Well, without question, we in our culture have reached an unprecedented milestone whereby there are more untraditional households than traditional households, whereby you have a husband, married one woman, and children. That, for the first time in U.S. history, is in the minority. We have tripped to the 51% mark, where there are 51% more non-traditional households. It could be single parent, could be cohabitation, and of course the same-sex kind of relationships that are going on in our culture right now. So, how a culture deals with marriage will determine the viability of that culture. Well, here's why. And you mentioned, does God have anything to do with it? Well, the answer to that is a categorical yes. If you go back to Genesis, Garden of Eden, God set up two fundamental pillars for every society. Number one, life, how that society defines life, treats human life. And number two, marriage. Why do I say that those are the two fundamental pillars? Well, he made a man. Well, that's God defining life. Then he gave that man a wife. That's God defining family. Now, when a civilization gets one or both of those areas redefined or misdefined, then that civilization will cease to unravel like a cheap sweater in no short order. Because if marriage is treated with disdain, then that culture will not perpetuate itself by having children.
Mm.
And so when you look at abortion, how that mitigates against a culture, how long can a culture last when that culture continues to abort its young and thereby wounding mothers? Then how long can a civilization last when we do not properly define marriage? Now, one might say, well, you know, two unwed people are having kids, that, you know, they're perpetuating human life by doing that. Yes, but when a child grows up in an illegitimate home whereby God is not kept in preeminent status, then moral relativity is the order of the day. That child is susceptible to following whatever goes. His morality will be based upon what's relative to his circumstance and not be guided by absolutes. So if we're not willing to be solid on the absolute of marriage, then we will compromise in other areas of life. And that's the essence of what total life victory is about.
Well,
and I think
this
for the forum to
show, you're listening to Lyndon Allen as we're talking about the importance of marriage. And there's some that I'm going to, after we come back from the break, I'm going to want us to pick up on this a little bit because there's so much more we're going to want to talk about. But specifically, you touched on something on specifically absolute. Is there such thing as an absolute truth? We've got about 2 minutes before we go to our break, and I want you to touch on that because is it important to have an absolute truth? Isn't it okay just to have relative morals? I mean, after all, I'm pretty much a good guy, you know, but whether or not there's an absolute on this area, an absolute in that area, I mean, does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
So can you answer that? I've got 2 minutes. Go ahead and answer
absolutely.
That really quick.
Yeah, well, no pun intended. It absolutely does matter. If we do not stand on established solid ground, then we will have our feet firmly planted in midair. And then it makes it okay for me to step into someone's house, take their television, and not experience any consequences for that. Well, they might say to me, well, hey, you can't do that. Well, why not? Under my system of law, I can go into your house and take what I need because I need it. Now, then that's called anarchy.
Mm.
Now, we live under absolutes. It is wrong to murder someone because God says murder is wrong.
But what if they make me mad?
Well, then we have the absolute of self-control. You know, just because one may win a fight doesn't mean you're right. And that comes from a great song that just came out by Shannon Sanders called Man Up. Powerful song.
Mm.
You got to know when to run and when to fight. Just because you win the fight doesn't make you right. That's why it's crucial to have absolutes. A man may think in his heart that it is a right thing to do, but in the end, it leads to death, it says in Proverbs.
Woo. Hey, you know what? It's amazing about that because there's some circumstances where you shouldn't even fight. Just because you can fight doesn't mean you're supposed to fight.
Absolutely. So true.
And to be able to discern exactly what is an absolute. So let's give an example. Can you give an example of an absolute truth?
An absolute truth. Well, let's talk about marriage. An absolute truth is how God defined marriage. Adultery, for example, is wrong. That is an absolute. Adultery is wrong. Well, why is it wrong? Okay, Here's why adultery is wrong. When a husband and wife come together in covenantal marriage and then consummate that marriage, say on a honeymoon and every time thereafter they come together, they are creating a bonding between them emotionally that if it is severed by a third party coming into the relationship, then you create soulish damage to all parties concerned. Damage to them psychologically, damage to them emotionally, and in some cases become physically sick. And what God is trying to do by creating these rules is not because he doesn't want us to have fun. He's trying to protect us and give us the best possible chance of winning. Let me give you an example.
But I got to hold you right there. We're going to have to do it right after the break. When we come right back after the break, we're going to hear Lyndon's example about the importance of these, of following these absolute truths, as well as how do you start over in marriage from an emotional ground zero. We also have Tony Dungy's take on the whole Trayvon Martin case and findings. You don't want to miss another second of the show. We'll be right back after this.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
I got all I need, and it's all right by me.
You're listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. This is your show, America, and thank you once again for joining us. The call is free, 888-346-9144. 888-346-9144. We're joined by Lyndon Allen, and we're so excited about him being on the show. You don't want to miss, later on in the show, we're going to have Tony Dungy's take on the whole Trayvon Martin case. You don't want to miss what he has to say about that. But before the break, we're talking about marriage. We're talking about what should it look like, and we started talking about absolute truth. And is there a such thing as truth? Are there the implications of our morals in our families and how that impacts our society around us? And during the break, Lyndon and I were talking, and I was sharing how, you know, there are absolute truths, that those are the truths that allow our government, our political system, our legal system to create and write laws. And those laws all validate a fundamental truth. You know, it's wrong to steal. And so if you're caught stealing, breaking a fundamental truth, there's going to be consequences to that. it's wrong to be married to more than one person at once. And if you break that, there's going to be consequences. It's wrong to, you know, to kill. And that's a fundamental truth, regardless of what the circumstances are, you know. And if you violate that thing, then guess what? There's going to be consequences to that. And so having fundamental truths or absolute truths aren't a negative. They're actually a positive that, one, helps make sure the behavior and the culture of a community are going towards the positive. And if someone violates it, that is not going to impact the entire community and change and transform the entire culture to allow behavior to be something that is going to hurt not only themselves but also people around them. Now, Lyndon, you said you had a sports analogy about that that I want to let you talk about.
What if, thanks so much, Freddie. And before I go on, I want to say thank you so much to you, your audience, your team. I love how you just seam together sports and the importance of family. I mean, that is a guy's just place where he needs to park and soak. And I'm thankful that you've created a spot on the airwaves for such a discussion. All right, here's an analogy I was going to share with the people about absolutes and the importance of them. Let's say Michael Phelps, Olympic level swimmer, awarded gold medals. Let's say he gets to the Olympic pool at the next one, say in London, and there are no lanes, no black line at the bottom of the pool. They've got stands, you know, launching stands set up all around the pool. And the organizers of the event say, hey, okay, Michael, you stand over there. France, you're over here. Japan, you're over here. And you guys just pick wherever. You guys jump from the corner. The rest of you guys just pick a spot, and I'm going to give you the mark, and everybody just jump in the water and just go. That would be utter chaos. Michael Phelps has trained for years. And when the champion in training comes to the moment, the contest wherein his level of training is going to be revealed, he is so thankful for his lane and the black line at the bottom of the pool, because it's going to keep him in line when he flips at the other end. Mm-hmm. Without the absolute restrictions of those floating lanes and that black line, he has no possible chance of getting a gold. None.
So I need the restrictions.
Yes, the restrictions.
I need boundaries.
The boundaries and the restrictions from God are to give us the best possible chance of winning in life.
So then a boundary of knowing that adultery is wrong, that's a good thing. That's not a thing of me not being able to have fun, but it allows me to stay in my lane for success.
Clearly. And I'm speaking from experience there. Because 10 years ago, I went through what we're talking about. And my heart was ravaged. Now, I grew up fatherless. My parents were divorced when I was 2. They came to this country from the Caribbean, from Jamaica. My mom's from Panama. Her father's Jamaican, so she was educated in Jamaica. And they come to this country, and they get divorced back in the 60s when I was born. And I grew up with little or no definition of manhood. Manhood to me was when, and I grew up in the area when MTV just came on the spot. And all these cable shows started showing up. And in mass, started to give definitions of what manhood was. Manhood was how many of these women can you bed? How much of this can you drink? How big is your house? How big is your car? What kind of clothes you're wearing? All of these vapid, empty definitions of manhood. Nobody talked to me about keeping your word, doing an honest day's work, staying to the task, things of that nature, character issues, because truly character is what you are when no one is looking. Are you willing to do the righteous thing, the right thing? And I took that weak mindset in my early 20s into my marriage, and I had no definition of of marriage, other than, okay, husband and wife say I do, and then that's it. I had no modeling of what marriage needed to look like, and I tried to do it on my own. Now, nobody does anything great on their own. No one.
Now, would, it, would we agree that that's an absolute truth?
I would dare say so. It's not written in the Bible, but it's...
you well, really, think about it. There's safety in a multitude of counselors.
Yes, that. There's safety in a multitude of counselors.
Counselors, you know, allow your thoughts to be established. There are some governing principles that without... anyone governing without you being submitted to someone else, it makes it very difficult for you to have your dreams accomplished.
Yeah, what I was saying, but you won't see the specific words. Nobody does anything alone, but that principle of there's safety, and I'm glad you said safety because some people misquote that and say there's wisdom in the multitude of counselors. It's actually there is safety in the multitude of counselors. So the principle of you cannot walk this life alone. At all. You know, Alexander the Great did not conquer any land by himself. What made him great was his army.
Mm.
That's what made him great. He didn't go into any of the nations that he conquered on his own. And I tried to do life by myself. And consequently, I did not seed my wife properly, emotionally, or spiritually. You see, a woman is a triune being. She's body, she's soul, and she's spirit. And we're taking this back to marriage. And if a man fails to only seed his wife physically, and every man wants to get involved in that, and if you seed your wife physically, of course she's going to bring forth a child. Mm-hmm. But the concept that God is illustrating to us is whatever a man wants from his wife, who is like a garden to him, the seed of that is first in him, just like the seed for a child is first in him.
Mm-hmm.
And it is planted in his bride, and she brings forth the child. Well, most men in culture stop right there and cease to seed their wives emotionally by what they say and what they do.
Mm.
And then they fail to seed their wives spiritually by creating an environment wherein life can be sustained. Now, that's what God did. God created an environment wherein life can be sustained. That is the position of the leader of the household when it comes to the weight and the office of husband. He must create an environment where life can be sustained. Is he creating an environment where his wife feels comfortable to praise the Lord, to worship the Lord, to pray unto God? Or is she constantly complaining to the Lord about her husband who's neglecting her?
Ooh. And you know, it's amazing. I was just having a conversation with a guy who was having some issues in his marriage. And his wife would make a comment something like this, and I'm sure those of you listening may have heard something like this, where he was saying that he felt like his wife is trying to be controlling, because if she calls him and something comes up, and or say there's another call on the other line, and he says, oh, hey, I need to take this call, and she'll make a comment something like this, oh, is that call more important than me?
Mm.
And he took it as, well, she's trying to just be controlling and trying to dominate me, versus understanding, well, if she's saying that, it's because she probably, and not probably, that's how she feels.
Yes.
Because the climate and the culture that he has created as the husband in that home,
mm-hmm,
has made her feel like there are other things more important than her. And when she wants his time, she's not sure she can get the time. And that's caused conflict there in the home. We've got 2 minutes before we go to break. Can you address that? Because I'm sure there's many other guys that might feel like, man, my wife is just a nag. She's just, you know, getting on my case. Instead of understanding that, well, maybe it's because there's a culture, a climate that we as men,
mm-hmm,
have,
mm-hmm,
created in our home that is causing our wife to respond, because wives are responders. They respond to the stimulus we give them.
Oh, here's how I put it when I do my counseling with men. You have the marriage you want, just like you have the garden in front of your house that you want. Why is that? God, who's the creator of marriage, is big into gardening. Here's what Jesus said in John 15:1. My father is a gardener. Now, when we men hear the term gardening, we think of posies and little cute little flowers, and that's not masculine to be gardening. Well, yeah, it is. It's the most masculine thing you can do is to get in touch with farming and gardening, because the term husband means farmer, gardener, steward, champion. Farmer, gardener, steward, champion. That's what it means to be a husband.
One of the translations actually call it, he's a husbandman?
Yes, he's the band around the house, the husband.
Wow.
That's what he is. He's the guy, the point guy, that keeps it together. So if God is big into gardening, so much so that when he made the first man, he put him in a garden. Then he gave that man the ability to physically plant seed into his wife as a clue to do that remaining issue with her and the other two parts of her being. Remember, a woman is a triune being. She's body, she's soul, and she's spirit. And she needs to be seeded in all of those areas. And whatever you seed her with, both good and bad, will be reflected. So going back to the gardening metaphor, if a man has weeds in his garden, it's because he wants them there. If he does not want them there, he needs to dig them out. Now, when's the best time to dig weeds out of a garden?
We're going to have to bring that up right after the break. We'll be right back with Lyndon Allen answering the question, what's the best time to take weeds out of the garden? You're listening to The Freddie Scott Show.
Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Freddie Scott, a second-generation NFL player, is a national spokesman for Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad, and author of The Dad I Wish I Had, featuring a foreword by Tony Dungy. Freddie knows what family peace means in his own life, living the American dream of having a father inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame and a successful NFL career, to the disappointment of experiencing family turmoil firsthand. He has since committed himself to love and lead his family to success and equip and empower people across the country to keep their family and children as their top priority. To connect with Freddie and request him to speak at your next event or conduct a family peace workshop for your church or business, visit www.freddiescott.org. You can order your copy of his book at www.thedadiwishihad.com.
Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with K. Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Listening to the Freddie Scott Show, tackling the game of life. To call into our program and speak to Freddie or his guests, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to contact@unlockthechampion.com. Now, back to the Freddie Scott Show.
Welcome back to the Freddie Scott Show, where men lead, marriage works, and families grow. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. We've had a great time. Of course, our thoughts and prayers continue to go out to those families that have been impacted by the tornadoes that impacted the heart of America this weekend. Of course, we talked sports a little bit, but we've been joined by Lyndon Allen, and we're going to be hearing his last thoughts for today's show. But I wanted to play a tape of what Tony Dungy's thoughts are on the Trayvon Martin case. Obviously, that was probably one of the biggest stories across America for the past month. And here is Tony Dungy's take on the Trayvon Martin case.
obviously in the last month, there's been a lot of focus on the Trayvon Martin case here in Florida, yes, but all over the country. And I think there's a couple things that we can take from this. Number one, I think we've got now a picture of two different sides, and everybody looking at trying to figure out what happened, and what happened from George Zimmerman's side, what happened from Trayvon Martin's side, who did what. And unfortunately, there's probably some things that we'll never know. But I think instead of looking at it and focusing the blame and this person was wrong or here's what happened, we need to look forward. We need to look ahead and see what we can learn from this. And the thing that strikes me is right now we're in a fear mentality, and we've got to eliminate that. I don't know the best way to do that, but we've got to let common sense come back into play. But yes, we want to protect our neighborhood. We want to protect our homes. We want to protect our families. But it can't be done at all costs. And there is a way to do that. We have law enforcement. We have neighborhood watches. That's all great. But we've got to follow the protocol. And we've got to see what we can do to take the fear out of it. And right now, I'm not sure what's going on with this law of stand your ground in Florida. I live in Florida, and I didn't interpret it this way. And I hope this is not the way the police and the justice system interprets it. That, to me, is going to be the biggest thing to come out of this case. So I guess I would just caution taking sides. Let's get all the facts. Let's see what exactly happened. But let's look at what our responsibilities are, and the fact that a young man is dead, that a life has been lost, that it could have been avoided. That's the thing we need to focus on. And as my dad would always say, how can we go forward and make things better? What can we do to help ensure this situation never happens again, instead of just trying to put the blame on one side or the other? Let's look ahead and see what we can do, whether it's with the law, whether it's with how we interpret it, and really how we look at our neighbors and everybody else in our community. That, to me, is the important thing.
I want to thank Coach Dungy and my good friends at All Pro Dad for providing that and his thoughts on the whole Trayvon Martin case. And obviously that was a huge topic of conversation across the country. Thought you'd be interested in hearing his thoughts on that. Now we're welcoming back Lyndon Allen. We've been talking about marriage and the weight of the responsibility of husbands and absolute truth in marriage and relationships. And right before the break, we were talking about, are there weeds in the garden? And when's the best time to take weeds out of your garden?
After
and,
good rain.
We're just talking about the fact that some guys feel like their wives are nags, mm-hmm. feels like, you know, that relationship isn't where it needs mm-hmm. to be. And sometimes we point the finger at our wives and saying, well, you're the problem. If you would just get your act together, get your emotions in check, wouldn't be so emotional, life would be better. And so what are the things on your heart that you want to tell that guy as we wrap the show?
Well, the first thing I would tell that young man is, whatever your wife is giving you is what you put there. Because you, the husband, you're the gardener. And however you seed your wife, she is designed to reflect and bear out to you that which you seed her with. Now, if you seed your wife with honor emotionally, if she feels honored in your presence, what does it mean to honor? Honor means when your wife, say, walks into a room, say you're at a dinner party or what have you, and you get there ahead of her and you're talking with your buddies, and your eye picks up that she is now in the room, the attention of your focus now leans toward her. It's like the room tilts in her direction, and you make a beeline to her. The same thing with a phone call. If you're talking to a friend and she calls through and you see it's your wife, bang, excuse me, brother, excuse me, friend, my wife's on the line, I'm going to get to her. You get to her and she feels that she is top priority, and trust me, if your wife feels by what you say and what you do that she is top priority, the nagging will go. And that's when you rain down that kind of honor on her. Now, this is the best time to get weeds out of a garden, after a good rain. The soil is loose, and all of the roots are accessible. If you rain down love, joy, peace, and kindness to her, showing her honor, that weed of the nagging weed that you don't like, it will easily uproot when you rain down honor on your wife.
Wow. Thank you so much. We only have a couple minutes before we close today, but I think that that's really helpful. And for some guys, you might say, you know what, but I don't think she deserves me to do all of that. We have to realize and understand that it's not about what we think someone deserves. Mm-hmm. It's about understanding our role and our responsibility in our home. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a job that a head coach of a football team has. You know, if the team is down, if they start complaining or things of that nature, it's not the job of the head coach to say, man, you guys are horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's the job of the head coach to say, no, this is my team where I'm going to lead my team to a victory. It's the job of a CEO. If the company is in a downspin and the employee morale is
right.
low, if you're the CEO, your job isn't to say, man, you guys aren't doing a good job. Your job is to find out what can we do to make sure that we instill vision and drive and passion and change the culture and the environment in this place so that we're productive and successful. All of us as men, know how to do that in our work life.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to work, there's
that.
A certain mentality I have to have if I want to be successful here.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And the thing here is it's about getting God in you. See, that's what Total Life Victory is about. Total Life Victory is about having a Hebraic mindset to life. You look at life holistically. It's God in you, then God in you and your family, God in you and your church community, God in you and your finances, God in you and what you're called to do on this planet, and God in you and your health. He has something to say about every area of life. And if you're not feeling hopeful in certain areas of your life, get God involved and watch your life start to glisten with hope, primarily in your marriage. None of us deserved salvation on our own. It took Jesus Christ and Him crucified to determine that we now have access to a relationship with God again so that we can have life and that much more abundantly on this planet. He didn't wait for us to say, oh, I need that. He did it, though we didn't have any awareness of our sin.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We definitely want to have you back on to talk about those different dynamics of God in you, God in marriage, God in your children, God in church, God in community. That's going to be really exciting. Thank you so much. I want to thank everyone else for joining us today. This was the Freddie Scott Show on Voice America.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Freddie Scott Show. We'll be back next Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. We'll see you then. It's all right by me.